This is the Mind Part 2. And for those of you who weren't here, or just to remind you, those of you who were, I'm just going to do a bit of a summary so that you know where we're going with this. So the way that it works is the mind stores information and creates programs to make life easier and to keep us safe and happy. And everything we experience through our five senses and everything we think, say, or imagine is stored as data in our unconscious. And the subconscious filters what data we are consciously aware of and what we focus on. So the subconscious draws on unconscious programming to help us cope with challenging situations. And the subconscious assigns emotional responses to everyday situations based on our stored memories. And unfortunately, in this situation, in this way of working, pain and trauma memories are far more influential in programming than happy or neutral ones. So programs can be created due to trauma, but they don't usually work well for us. They can cause overreactions, strong emotional responses, wrong mindsets, and wrong belief systems. And all of this processing occurs in our mind, which is part of our soul. So the way that this works is that we are born without a conscious awareness of our connection with God. So our soul begins to function independently. So if we were consciously, subconsciously, and unconsciously aware of God's unconditional love, his love for us, his friendship, his protection, his desires for good for us, his desire for us to fulfill the plans and purposes he has for us. And if we knew that we could live in his peace, rest, and provision constantly, then our programming, right from the very beginning, would be shaped by that awareness. And it says in Jeremiah 29:11, which was shared last week, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So that's God's desire for us. That's what God's plan for us is. And that's what God aims for us to know our whole lives and to affect who we become. And I was just reading Psalm 23, and I love Psalm 23, and I was reading it in lots of different versions, so I've basically put it all together, and this is my version of what I think Psalm 23 says. So this is my translation. So it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, my protector, and my guide. I shall not want. I have everything I need. I will never be in need. There is nothing I lack because I am never in need. He gives me a place of rest. He is my place of rest. He restores my soul. He heals the memories, the painful emotions, and he changes my programming in my soul. He guides me along righteous paths. Even in dark and difficult situations, he is with me, comforting me and providing protection. He blesses me in the presence of my enemies. Even when I am my own enemy, he continues to bless me. And goodness and kindness pursue me always. And I will dwell entwined with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always. They are in me and I am in them." God, just, it makes me just like, this is what God says to us. This is what our reality is. This is how he designed us, that we would know this. So what I'd like to do just quickly, or not necessarily quickly, we're not going to spend 3 hours, but we're going to spend a few moments just pondering that. Just think about God's provision for your life, God's love for you, God's heart for you. And we're just going to spend a few moments doing that. Just while we're pondering, I'm going to read it again. The Lord is my shepherd, my protector, and my guide. I shall not want. I have everything I need. I will never be in need. There is nothing I lack. I am never in need. He gives me a place of rest. He is my place of rest. He restores my soul. He heals the memories, the painful emotions, and he changes my programming. He guides me along righteous paths. Even in dark and difficult situations, he is with me, comforting me and providing protection. He blesses me in the presence of my enemies. Goodness and kindness pursue me always, and I will dwell entwined with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always. They are in me, and I am in them. I mean, I could just stop there, really, but I'm going to go on, because that's not how we developed. That's not how we grew up. Most of us didn't grow up knowing who God was. But one of the things that I did a few years ago was I wrote out a I shall not want list. And I wrote out, I shall not want in my. So in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my finances, in my work. And, may I encourage you to continue to ponder this and to just think of areas in your life where you do not want to want. And just write out a declaration of what you believe God will do for you. So as I said, this is God's perfect plan for us. But because of our lack of conscious awareness, our soul creates an imperfect plan B. And after last week, I thought, we could easily argue that our behavior and our mindsets and our emotional responses are beyond our control. All of this has happened in our unconscious. This programming has happened and it's involuntary. We didn't choose to do it. So we could say, well, the way that I behave, it's just part of my programming. This is just who I am. If I explode in a situation or if I'm feeling really negative, it's just part of my programming and it's okay. But actually, that's not true, unfortunately. So we have no excuses. So often our programming is faulty, and often what we believe is untrue. So I was just going to quickly share with you how this has worked in my own life. So when I was, 3 or 4, I went to nursery school, and it suddenly became apparent that when you go to school with lots of children the same age as you, that they're friends. And for me, this was like a real mystery because I hadn't particularly had friends up to that age. And then I'm in this situation where I'm expected to function socially with other children my age. And I have absolutely no idea how to do this. Just like I would watch them play thinking, how do they know what to do? Because I don't really get this at all, which is very isolating in that. I then went to school, still really had not having developed any skills in this area. And there was a girl in my class who was a very cute looking girl. She had lovely blonde hair. She wore really lovely clothes and she just looked, wonderful. But she decided that she didn't like me. And she also decided that nobody else was allowed to like me either, which is really, really horrible. And I've had a lot of ministry over this one. But that was the foundation that I built my understanding of what friendship and my ability to relate to other people on. And as I said last week, what happens to us in our very early life is completely unfiltered. And we make judgments based on what it just looks like without any logical processing. So this scenario for me, this way of being, left me with a niggling feeling that there must be something wrong with me. Because if people don't like me, well, it must be my fault. At that time, I couldn't process that actually this girl was probably got some stuff going on in her life and just wasn't behaving very nicely. So the thing with if there's something wrong with you, then you need to fix it. And quite recently, some stuff was happening in my life. And I got onto this sort of like treadmill of I need to fix myself. And it became quite sort of all-consuming. And I felt like if I get to this point, then I feel I'll be better. And if I get to this point, and it felt like this path was in front of me and I just had all these stages to get through. And it just felt really hard and challenging. And I was like, am I ever going to get to that point? And I was just praying about it and asking God to show me, why am I in this sort of like frenzy of I need to be fixed? And God reminded me that when I was probably about 5 or 6, my mother put me on a diet, which is not a good thing to do to a small child. But what had happened was she had said that I was overweight and we put a little chart on the wall of my bedroom to monitor how I was doing, and I didn't do particularly well with it, really, I don't think. I do remember losing a pound one week and feeling really excited and it not really being particularly celebrated. So it was just difficult. But what God showed me in this, remembering this situation, is that I then felt that, so this niggling feeling that there's something wrong with me, that being put on a diet at that age made me think, oh, well, actually, okay, there is something wrong with me. You know, that's what's wrong with me. I'm, you know, I'm unacceptable because I'm overweight. So I need to work really hard to fix myself. And, but I hadn't consciously thought this. I hadn't connected with this. I hadn't understood this. But God just showed me that this was, so the programming is that I need to fix myself. And then a couple of months ago, I was in Totnes. We went down to Marketplace, and Lindy encouraged us to do what I'm going to encourage you to do later, which was to just step back in time and look at anything that God wanted to heal. And I found myself going back to a situation which I was just like, oh, I don't know why I'm here. I don't think this is a problem to me. I remember consciously thinking at the time, yeah, no, you know, whatever I'm being told in this situation, it's not a problem to me. So what happened was, when I was about 8, we had spent a couple of weeks at my grandmother's house, and I was, as I said last week, I was a bit of a wheezy child. I used to get chest infections, I had asthma, and while we were there, I'd had a chest infection. And when you're 8, you don't necessarily do all you can to protect, you know, you don't cough in your hand necessarily, you just, you know, you're just unwell. And then at the end of our time being away, my grandmother, who was in her late 80s, got the very first chest infection she had ever had in her whole life, and I was blamed. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, it wasn't my fault. It, you know, I'm a child. I had an infection. It wasn't my fault I got ill. It's not my fault that she's ill. You know, it possibly was my fault because I coughed on her, but I didn't feel that connection with feeling to blame. So consciously, I disagreed with what I was being told. But unconsciously, I took on board that there was something wrong with me and that I could cause harm to other people. So what happened here was, I then developed this belief system. So I'm not good at friendship. So I either used to hold on too tightly, or I would withdraw for self-protection. So that's how my programming protected me. And I used to overanalyze, and I'm not saying I haven't fixed this one yet, but mostly I used to overanalyze myself and what others thought of me, which is really easily, you know, I think we all do that, but God has really shown me that this is not helpful. So then I also had this constant nagging feeling that I needed to fix myself. But also what God has shown me is that life is not sequential. I know that sounds really weird because we are in a timeline and we go from day to day to day. But actually, the way that God thinks and the way that we should think is in a Hebrew way. So a Greek way is, it's all linear. You know, you get from this thing to this thing to this thing. The Hebrew is everything circular. So actually, our life is constantly circular. And these things will happen. Something small will happen here, and something small will happen here, and something will happen here that's possibly a bit more significant. And all of these things add up together to help you with your life and to progress you forward. And that's what your life looks like. It's not this stepping stone from one thing to the other. And for me, that really brought release, because I thought, actually, I'm just in a process. I'm on a journey. God knows my heart, that I want to be different, that I want to do things his way, that I don't want to live according to the programming that has been established in my life. But actually, I don't need to be driven in this. Because if I am constantly submitting to him and expressing to him that I want to do it his way, then things will just come together. And yeah, I may have to do things purposefully. I may have to make decisions, but I just have to trust that there's a process in place and it will continue. And there is momentum in it if I just focus on it. So our wonky programming has a tendency to cause us to try and fix ourselves. But actually, that's probably the less likely scenario. The more likely scenario is that we try and fix others. Because as I said last week, we project our negative emotions onto our current situation, and we look at what's going on in our life, and we think, well, I feel angry, so it must be that person's fault, so there's something wrong with them. And we don't necessarily look at ourselves. or our circumstances may be, that something in our current circumstances has triggered a pain memory from years and years ago, but we don't understand that there's that lack of correlation between what's happening right now and what was triggered. So again, we look at our current situation and we think, okay, this is what's causing us pain, and we try and fix that. So for me, my childhood felt quite chaotic. I felt things didn't feel certain. I had a mother who was quite ill, and our house was often untidy and chaotic. So for me, to deal with that, I like things to be tidy. And sometimes that can become a bit obsessive. And I like calm. And so it's funny, I was talking, who was I talking to earlier? I'm sorry, I can't remember. Billy, I was talking to Billy, because I have a lady who comes in on a Monday, and we have all these different coloured plastic cups. And sometime in the morning, before we start service for in the day centre, she has to put the cups in colour order. She cannot cope with them being mixed up. And she teases, you know, we laugh about it, and she's like, oh, this is just my thing, I just need them to be. And I've come in this morning, and all the cups are in the right colour. Well, it can't have been my volunteer, because she only comes in on a Monday. So somebody else here. Oh, okay. Well, the Holy Spirit told Jo to sort out the cups. It's not her OCD. Just so I had a teaching point. So there may be people who just need things to be right, you know, and we all know what those symptoms are, but they're not God's best for us. And actually, it's because we need to create order and to control our own lives, because it feels like things are out of control. So it means that we can put energy into our job, so it's the best thing, or our income, or material possessions, in relationships, because we do all of these things to help us feel safe and happy. Or we do these things to mask our pain through self-soothing. But the problem with that is that our soul is not very good at looking after us like that, because it's all our effort, it's all self-help, it's all DIY, which Mike talks a lot about. It's all our own ways of dealing with life, which then become mostly ineffective, even if they look like they appear to work temporarily. Because we weren't designed to operate like this. We weren't designed to be in control in that way. We weren't designed to make our lives safe, because we need God, because he's our comforter, he's our protector, he's our safe place. We are not our own safe place. So what we need to do is we need to change our programming. We need to deal with our painful emotions, our painful memories. We need to stop those triggers happening. We need to allow God to come in and change the defense mechanism that we have had. So the world says that we can change our programming through what we focus on and how we talk. So we can make statements of positive intent. We can cancel our own negative thinking, and we can replace the negative thinking with positive thoughts and positive talks. And I read this quote, and it says, "You simply decide how you will think and what thoughts you will allow into your mind, and you determine your own destiny." Which sounds wonderful. I just wish it was that easy. And I guess that most of us have tried that. We've all tried to fix ourselves. We've tried to do it in a certain way, and we thought, well, okay, if I just focus on this, it will be better. If I just choose to do it this way. And then there is absolute validity in that. You know, I know that if you feel that you're having a negative response to something, and you can recognize that this is an overreaction, you can say, actually, that's an overreaction. This does not relate to my current circumstances. And you can talk to yourself and say, actually, I don't need to feel like this. Or you can just think, actually, I don't want to feel yuck. You know, you can wake up in the morning and just feel blah, you know, just horrible. But actually, you can make a choice and think, God, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to focus on joy. I'm going to focus on love. And you can consciously change your thinking. But in fact, if you don't deal with the root stuff, if you don't deal with what's gone on inside, what's stored in your soul, what's stored in your thinking, then a lot of these things may work for a short while, or they may, you know, if you build a habit, but there is still going to be things that are triggered that are beyond your control. So yes, we are able to make choices about our attitudes towards ourselves and towards life and towards others. But as much of our programming is based on unconscious memories that we don't have immediate or easy access to, because they're filed away under too painful, unwanted, or classified. But I believe that God has a plan for our redemption and restoration. And that plan can include all sorts of ways of healing and reprogramming. So I'm going to share some of those thoughts now. And as you've seen this morning, Zilke had an amazing experience, and God gave her fire, God gave her light, God gave her water, like, was it a river or a lake? And, you know, I've never heard of those things in that way, but be expectant that God will show you something that's specific to you. But I'm just going to go through some things that could also help. So just talking, just being honest and open about how you feel to other people, just having, you know, having a conversation about what's happened to you in your life and what triggers you. And this can help us process, and it can bring things into the light. And often when things are brought into the light and they're no longer hidden, they lose their power over us. So just talking is a really excellent way of just beginning this journey. We can also do ministering or talking to our soul. So as I said, our soul took on the role of protecting us when we were designed to be protected by God. But this works well, best, us being protected by God, when our soul is relinquished of its responsibility to care for us. So we were originally designed with our spirit on the outside. So our spirit was the filter through which everything passed. And our spirit was designed to be connected with God. So if you think about how we look at life, so everything we see, everything we hear, what we taste, if our spirit is the first point of receiving things, and that spirit is connected with God and our spirit is pursuing God, then everything we see and everything we perceive is through that filter. We would be very different people, wouldn't we? But we can actually live in that reality. So what we can do is we can thank our soul and encourage it to function according to God's purposes. So we do want our soul to do what it's meant to do. It's meant to express healthy emotions. It's meant to have the mind of Christ. And it's meant to create good programming for us. It says in the Bible that our soul longs and yearns for God. And I want my soul to be free to function in that way. So we can release our soul from its DIY obligation, and we can extend our spirit around our soul. And you might think, well, how do we do that? And actually, it's just by faith. It's just saying your spirit is not something that's trapped inside your body. Your spirit is something that can grow. And we can just imagine our spirit growing to the point where it's beyond us, and it becomes like a golden glow, like the Ready Bet glow. It can be the first point of contact for everything that we do in life. So we have God right in the center of us, and we have our spirit, and then our soul and our body. And we've been taught numerous times over the last few years that God is the inside of us, and so we learn to function from the inside out rather than the outside in. So if everything is filtered through God and through the Spirit first, then the whole way that we're programmed is going to be completely different. And so it's really good to grow our spirit, and we can do that by speaking in tongues, by just blessing our spirit, by using our spirit to just be intuitive and to hear God and to perceive God. And so we also want body, soul, and spirit integration, so that our spirit and our soul and our body are all in harmony with each other, and they're all functioning together according to God's will. Sounds good. It's a lifetime. It's just a lifetime. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's something that we can purpose to pursue. We can also take communion. And as you know, we have prayers over here that talk about different ways of transformation. So we've got the ones to do with our mind, which really good, and we've got ones to do with our body. And again, I was looking up online about what is DNA, because we talk about it quite happily, and I'm like, actually, I don't know if I know what that is. I know it's a, you know, I know what it looks like. I can tell you that it's deoxyribonucleic acid, but what is it? You know, but it says the main role of DNA in the cell is long-term storage of information. So our DNA is the storage space. So if we have stuff in our DNA that is stored, that is not helpful to us, that is painful, that is misinterpreted, then it's going to cause us problems. But taking on the body and blood of Christ transforms our DNA. And again, it's through faith, it's a process. So we can transform through taking communion the information that is stored inside ourselves. We can also go into heaven because we are a gateway of heaven and we are the house of God. It says in Genesis 28, when Israel, who was it? Sorry? Jacob, thank you. He did become Israel eventually, didn't he? When Jacob had a dream about the ladder coming down from heaven, and he said, this place is the house of God, and he was talking about his own body. This is the gateway of heaven. And so because God dwells inside of us, we have complete access into heaven, as you probably all know. And it's like, it's not even going to a place. Actually, heaven is a parallel dimension. It's here. It's around us. It's inside of us. And we can just choose to focus on the heavenly realms. So if we remember that all data is stored in the unconscious through every experience that we have, if we step into heaven, if we go to that place, if we become consciously aware of heaven around us, or even if we just choose to live in that place and not be consciously aware of it, data is still being stored. So we are taking hold of things from heaven and storing it in our unconscious if we spend time there. And that then will become part of our memory. That will be what we carry inside of us and will affect our programming. So if we do that, if we step into heaven, we can be purposeful in where we go. So we can engage with God as the refiner's fire. We can ask him to burn up things that don't belong to us. We can soak in the river of life and let things wash away. And we can allow the water to saturate every cell of our body with his love and with his life. We can go to the tree of life and eat of its life-giving fruit. There is a sound and a frequency in heaven that resonates with the energy of God. And as I said last week, memories are energy stored in our cells. So we can recalibrate the energy in ourselves with the frequency of heaven. And as we've also talked about, essential oils have healing properties due to their frequency. And they can be used to release negative emotions. And as I'm not going to talk any more about that because I know Becky's talked about it and Carrie Browning is coming in August and she'll share far more about it than I know. So, excuse me. We can also do timeline healing. I know I said earlier that God has shown me this revelation that life is not linear, but actually I have found that it's really, really helpful to think of our life in terms of a timeline. So we know that lots of things happen to us before this time where we are right now. You know, things happen to us in our own life, things happen to us generationally. So we can go back and reconnect and remember unconscious memories and allow them to be healed. We can also do healing through parts and fragments. So as most of our programming occurred through childhood trauma, we often get stuck at the age. So for me, I got stuck at 4, and then I got stuck at 6, and I got stuck at 8. And sometimes these things can all be connected. So it's like one thing happens, and then it connects to something else, and then it connects to us. But if we've got parts that are functioning within us as though we were still five, that's probably not the best way. You know, if you go to a preschool or a nursery and you see children playing and there's a lot of screaming and there's a lot of grabbing and there's a lot of fighting going on, you know, that children are very self-centered and very selfish and they get what they want and they are very emotional and they don't worry about how their behavior affects other people. Well, as an adult, I don't want to behave like that. I don't want to behave like a five-year-old. I may do sometimes, but that's not my desire. So we can get stuck at an age because we've got pain related to that age. Forgiveness is also an incredible way of dealing with stuck emotions and with pain. We can forgive other people for what they have done to us that's caused us a problem, and we can forgive ourselves for what we have done to ourselves, the way that we've cursed ourselves, the decisions that we've made, the way that we have affected our own lives. We can also engage with our scroll of destiny. So God has a plan for us, as we already read in Jeremiah. There are heavenly blueprints specifically designed just for us. And I believe that everything carries a frequency, everything carries an energy. And if we go and engage with the scroll of destiny, with the blueprints of our life, and just allow that energy to be a part of who we are, it will change who we are. And I know for me personally, I remember years ago now, Mike teaching us to do an activation, and we went in and we engaged our scroll of destiny. And Mike tells this amazing story of being able to read it. Well, I found it really, really difficult to read my scroll of destiny. But actually, God showed me, it was like, for me, it was like a big rug. And I just lay on the floor and I rolled myself up in it. And I just allowed the frequency and the sound that it carried to just become me, to just saturate me. And I didn't need to know what was on it. I just received it by faith and my spirit got a download, because my spirit's so much better than understanding the things of God than my head is. And for me, that's what I do. And I still consciously do that because I want to live my life according to God's purposes. So very recently, I was having a conversation with a friend about a situation in my life. And it was something that had happened. And in my head, I thought, oh, that's sort of a painful situation. But I hadn't particularly thought it was painful. But on retelling the story, suddenly all this emotion came up. And I'm just like, actually, this is really horrible. And so I was just talking about it and pondering it, and I realized that actually it was really messy. That lots of things had happened in my life, and there was sort of like this pattern of stuff that had gone on, and it was complex and emotional. And I knew that I was going to do this talk today, so I knew that I'm encouraging you to sort out your stuff. But actually, I was just like, I don't want to do this. This is messy. This is horrible. It's going to be painful. It's like, I don't think I've got the energy to unravel this. It's not nice. But because I know that I need to be purposeful and I can't stand up here and tell you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself, I was like, God, I just give it to you. I just wrap it all up and I give it to you and I give you permission to help me. And I just give you permission to hold this for me where I don't feel I can hold it myself. So I'm just now in a place of trust. I know that God will show me things. I know that I will need to deal with things. I'll need to do some forgiveness. But I've just given it to him at this point. And that's okay, because sometimes things can feel big and messy and horrible. And so it's okay to not feel that you're strong enough, because God is strong enough. And he's always going to be with you. And he's always in the process of redemption. He's always in the process of restoration. And so it's just trusting him and being purposeful in saying, I want that. So what I'm going to do now is that we're going to do an exercise of timeline healing. And I'm going to just talk you through the process. And you may think, oh, I don't know what this is going to look like. But it's okay, because God has got you. So what I'm declaring is that you may see the emotions, but you are not going to be overwhelmed by them. You're going to see them so that you can recognize them, but they're not going to undo you. So what we'd like to do is, if we could have some... Just going to have some music because I just feel that that just sound helps us. So what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes. Just be in a place of peace and rest because God has got this. So I'm going to encourage you to just, whether you know what they are or whether you don't, I'm going to encourage you to wrap up all your pain emotions. Just bundle them all together and give them to Jesus. And by faith, I'm going to encourage you to step onto your timeline. And for me, that looks like a railway track, but whatever it looks like for you is great, and just go with it. And we're going to ask Jesus to take you to a place where you need healing. To a place where you store pain memories. So just allow Jesus to be your guide. Don't try and lead the way, just let him take you to a place. So it may be helpful to see it as a crater or an explosion site. It's a place where there is damage. Ask you to ask Jesus to show you what caused the damage. And will you say to Jesus, for my well-being, I need to release this. And so I choose to forgive everyone who was involved in this pain situation, everyone who was involved in this trauma. I choose to forgive them now, and I release them from everything that I have held against them. You don't need to feel forgiveness. You just have to choose to do it. And it may be something that you need to do on more than one occasion. But at this point, it's just a choice. It's just saying, God, I choose to forgive. And I'm going to ask you to just acknowledge the pain that you felt. Let God show you what pain emotions got connected to this trauma. And now I'm going to ask you to allow God to wash over you with love and acceptance to wash the pain away, to wash it from every cell in your body, to wash it from every place where it's stored in your subconscious. We're going to ask Jesus to disconnect the painful memories, the painful emotions from your memories. And to break the triggers that are in place that cause those memories, those emotions to be triggered when you don't want them. And I'm going to ask Jesus to show you what beliefs and mindsets you establish due to this trauma, due to this pain memory. And God may show you some things now. You may need to go back and do this again. But just ask God to give you a list of the things that you believe that are wrong. The lies that you believe about yourself, about your life, about what life looks like for you, and about relationships. By faith now, I'm going to encourage you to nail all of those wrong beliefs and all of those mindsets to the cross. And if during the worship in a while you need to actually literally nail them to the cross here, that's great. But just at the moment, just in your imagination, just imagine nailing every single one of those to the cross and giving them to Jesus. Jesus to give you new beliefs and mindsets, to replace those lies with the truth. And again, they may come immediately. You may suddenly hear God saying something to you, or it may take time to develop and establish. But just be open to receive that revelation from God of how to believe and how to think. There is paper here if you need to jot anything down. And we're just going to ask Jesus to show you how old you were when this happened. How old were you when this trauma or pain memory occurred? So just ask God to show you what you looked like and who you were at that younger age. And I'm going to ask you to speak to your younger self, so whatever age you were, and ask yourself what you were feeling in that time. And what you need. So you could say, 5-year-old Alice, how are you feeling in this situation, and what do you need? And then I want you to tell your younger self that you have Jesus with you. Jesus can heal your pain, and he can meet all of your needs if you come to him. So you're telling your younger self that God is your healer. And sometimes we don't want to reconnect with that younger part of us because it's carries emotions that we don't want to connect with. So I'm going to encourage you to ask Jesus to help you love that younger part of you. And you may want to say something to your younger self, just words of love or just words of encouragement. So you're going to invite that part of you that got stuck, that got disconnected from you, to become reconnected with you so that you can get healed together. So just welcome that part back. Welcome it back into your life, because you want to function as a whole person. Reconnected, ask Jesus to speak identity and love over both of you. Jesus, to fill every cell in your body with life and love. And we're going to ask him to rewire and to rewrite the negative programming that was connected to that trauma and to that pain memory, so that your subconscious and unconscious will carry new programming now that will be effective and life-giving and purposeful and a blessing to you, that it will be programming written according to his design for your life. And again, you may hear something immediately, but just trust in the process, that God is in the process of rewriting your programming, of redeeming the memories that are in your cells. So whatever has started this morning, just allow God to continue with that. That's a very fast track healing session. And if we do healing, inner healing, if you book a session with us, or if you do it, it's usually like an hour. So that was a very rapid process, but God knows. And I just know that he's in control. So if you feel that you need more help, if things have come up that you think, gosh, actually, I see that there was a process, but I couldn't really engage with it, but you'd like to do it and walk that journey with somebody else, just if it feels you could do it this morning, just grab somebody in the worship, or if you feel you need to book an appointment, then Karen is your woman, but you can talk to Joe this morning. But just trust that there are solutions, that you're not stuck, but actually God has a plan for your life, and it's a perfect and good plan. Oh, and also if you need to do anything Again, if you need to add anything to the cross this morning, then just do that. Thank you.